And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Welcome, everyone. The program is called Shedding Shackles. I'm your host. My name is Roland. And I want to make a special program. Well, it's for everyone, but especially for the people in Southern California. You know, I've been on the air now for many years here in beautiful Southern California. One of my favorite places. I love Southern California. And although I happen to live in Northern California, I've been down to your neck of the woods a few times, and every time I have, I thoroughly enjoy it. Well, I happen to be on the air here. And I'm on the air Sunday morning, as you undoubtedly know. And I also have little moments of reflection that air during the week, little one-minute moments of reflection that air Monday through Friday. And I want to tell you why I'm here. Why am I here? Well, first of all, I don't know why I'm here. There must be a reason in God's providence why I happen to be on the air here in, you know, Palm Desert, Palm Springs, San Bernardino, all the cities around, including Los Angeles. There must be a reason. Well, let me tell you what I do. I have a very special program that's dedicated to freedom. It's dedicated to freedom. There's a book I'm very fond of. It's called Experiencing God Through Prayer. It's by Madame Jeanne Guyon, a nice lady who lived in France 300 years ago. And she wrote a beautiful little book called Experiencing God Through Prayer. And she begins her book by saying, anyone can pray. When she said prayer, she had something special in mind. I'll tell you what she meant in just a moment. But her basic point was that anyone, or let me put it a different way, anyone can come to God. She said a lot of us have the idea that, you know, where you have to study, or you have to belong to a certain group, or a certain organization, or you have to be smart. She said, anyone. She said, you don't even have to be able to read. She said, the greatest book of all was Jesus. Okay? So, you come to God in silence. There's a lot of words out there. See, everyone has... Have you ever noticed how there are thousands of different religions and tens of thousands of different preachers? Why would anybody need a preacher? What do you need a preacher? Why do you need a middleman between you and God? You don't. Christ is there. You have Christ. See, but you don't know him. But you could know him. But you can only know him if you set aside all of the other middlemen. Why do you need a middleman to tell you? And to interpret for you, and to tell you what to do and how to think. See, that's when Christ had his ministry for, you know, what was it, 3 years on the shores of Galilee. Who was it that he spoke the most harshly of? It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees, wasn't it? The scribes. It was the learned ones. It was the ones with master's degrees and the ones with PhDs and the ones with fancy clerical robes on. See? And they wanted to be the middleman. Why? Because then they had power. And they hid behind, you know how people hide behind a job or hide behind an office or hide behind some title? Well, they hid behind it. See? And they gathered power to themselves, and then they bamboozled everyone. And those people who followed them were kept from the real thing. So the reason I'm here is to bring freedom, so you can find the real thing. And you find the real thing within. But what's happened now is that your within has been corrupted by all of the resentments and upsets and traumas and unhappiness and pressures. The outside has gotten on the inside, and now it interferes with your finding your Creator within. So, one of the reasons I'm here is to help you find a way to stand back and get a little mental distance from all of the negativity within so that you can be clear enough to begin to realize. See, religion is realized. Real religion is a relationship between a soul and its maker. And you realize it, you experience it in the present. Not from a book and not from people on the outside. The best thing anyone on the outside can do is say a few words that might awaken you to realize for yourself. And when you realize for yourself, that's the nature of real religion. Download my 4-part classic meditation and 2 ebooks right now. Just visit talktoapastor.org or sheddingshackles.com. You may wonder why you are lost between your own 2 ears. You may wonder what's gone wrong. Well, if you look carefully, you step outside and there's the beautiful sunshine and blue sky and puffy clouds and the beautiful flowers and hummingbirds. And there you stand and you sense that something is wrong. What is it? You're lost in worries, doubts, fears, reliving the past, memories, see, and doubts, and worries. What if this and what if that? You have sunk into your own self, where you sit down there in negativity. Now, why would this happen? And who would want that to happen to you? See, who would want to make that happen to you? Who would give you a hard time and pressure you and slap you around and put you down and tell you to shut up? And who would pressure you to get better grades and more and be better and act better and make more money and get more degrees and take more classes and achieve more and more and more and set higher goals and run faster and jump higher and help the team win more? Who would do such a thing to you? God would not do that to you. See, Jesus wouldn't do it to you. Who would do it to you? Who would pressure you to study more, concentrate harder, learn more? See, all kinds of knowledge, including religious knowledge. Who would do that to you? Not anyone that had your best interests at heart. Undoubtedly, it would be someone who was misguided, who themselves had been pressured. So they themselves had been pressured, and they lost their innocence, they lost their freedom, they lost their spontaneity. See, if you want to see what a person ought to be like, well, there are some around, of course, but the people who are more like people are supposed to be like are the ones that are the most spontaneous, the most free. And of course, a good example are little tiny children, full of life, full of zest. Every day is a day of adventure and a day of discovery, and they're spontaneous and free, but pretty soon they get put down and slapped down and told to keep quiet and made to conform. See? And it's not long before they're sent off to daycare and preschool and put in a room with 10 or 15 or 20 other children, many of them from bad homes, and they're pressured. See, and then they go to school, and then there are bullies. Then there's peer pressure. See, drug pressure. There's peer pressure, drug pressure, sex pressure, conformity pressure, grade pressure, performance pressure. See, on the schoolyard, there are bullies, and on the way home. And so, freedom is lost. Okay? And the person who could have been the Madame Curie, the Mozart, the Susan B. Anthony, the Isaiah, the Albert Einstein, see? They don't become that. So, you've got to refine freedom again. You've got to refine it. So how do you do that? Well, you have to begin to search for what's missing. But you're not going to find it in books. You're not going to find it in a building. You're not going to find it from some middleman or some expert or some writer. You have to find it within. So you have to begin to search for the meaning of your life. Find what you once had a long time ago when you were a little tiny child. Okay? And yearn for what is good and what is true and what is pure. And then you know what? If you really and truly do, you will find it. And the reason I'm here is because maybe I can, in my own simple, humble little way, maybe I can help you get started. Hi everyone, this is Roland. I just want to take a moment to introduce myself. Well, I've been around 28 years now on the radio. I'm just a man with a microphone. I don't work for the station. I don't get paid by the station. I don't get a salary. I don't have an organization. It's just me. And that's how I help people. That's why I've done this all these years. I just want to help people, okay? Well, I'm a lot closer to 70 than I am to 65, so I'll give you an idea that I've been around for a while, okay? But I understand some basic things, but more importantly, I know how to recover from them. Some basic things that go wrong, like resentment, hostility, and unfinished business, and not finding the purpose of your life, okay? Getting sidetracked, and conforming to other people, and then finding out you missed the boat, so I know how to recover from that kind of stuff. And I know the answer is spiritual. And it has something to do with God. And it has something to do with Christ. See, but here's the thing. Just hearing about religion, hearing about God, hearing about Jesus, it's not enough. You have to experience Him in your innermost being. And what's blocking you right now from experiencing Him is undoubtedly resentment and being lost in your thoughts. Lost in your daydreams and lost in your worries and doubts and fears. And so you have to learn how to stand back from those so you can get clear of them, okay? It's like coming up out of being under the ocean, coming up to the surface, and there's the blue sky and the puffy clouds, and you take a wonderful, deep breath of fresh air, okay? That's what you need to do to come out of those nightmares, those daydreams that become nightmares. Rise above them and then find reality. The blue sky and the puffy clouds and where the birds are singing. And that's why I've made a little meditation, too. I've made a little meditation that has been very, very helpful to some people. It's been very helpful to me. And I think could be just what you need if you really and truly want to get better, okay? And find out the purpose for your existence and find out just where you've been going wrong and what's been blocking you from finding all the good things that life can hold. Yes, I would just like to follow up with a couple of words about what I just said in that little announcement there. I was born in Wyoming, grew up in Utah, came to San Francisco to go to college and ended up staying for 25 years, okay? Well, then as time went by, after college, I went to work and worked for a corporation. And that was good, okay? Learned a lot. Met a lot of people. Then I taught some college classes for several years, and that was good also. Enjoyed it, okay? But then, around age 40, well, it was time for a change. And one of these days, I'll tell you about it. Right now, I'll just say that it wasn't anything that I made happen myself. It kind of came to pass in a very gentle way, and yet decisively. It was time for a change, okay, to begin a second half of life, and to begin to discover some beautiful and wonderful things, and to become progressively free from baggage from the past, okay? And it wasn't long after I started to get better that I went on the radio. Well, here I am some 28 years later, still on the radio. So what can I say to you? I can say it's time to set aside the baggage from the past. All of the people who pressured you and who disappointed you and who were cruel to you and who rejected you, and those people who corrupted you with their false love, their phony love and their consolation, those people who pressured you to perform more and do more and be more, okay, and then after you conform to them, then where would you look for approval? Well, you'd have to look to them, and so they gave you their phony love. I say, put all of that behind you, and go forth now to find yourself, okay? So let's talk about that. Now, I want to just tell you a couple of very simple little things. Okay, before I go any further, I want to once again mention the importance of the little meditation exercise that I have. It could be very helpful because right now your problem is that you're lost between your two ears. See, it was the pressure. See, I'm going to say again what I said last week. Ann Landers, remember Ann Landers, great newspaper columnist? She said about resentment, she had something very interesting to say, and this is very pertinent to our topic of leaving behind the baggage of the past. She said that hanging on to resentment is like letting someone who you despise live rent-free in your head. So all the pressures of life, the peer pressure, the work pressure, the grade pressure, the academic pressure, the performance pressure, the having to be good pressure and be nice pressure and all that stuff, okay, all those pressures and the conformity and the drug and all those pressures, okay, they're all inside of you now. So you have to learn how to deal with them, not by struggling with them, it makes them stronger, not by pushing them under the carpet. Learn how to get a little mental distance and just observe them without reacting to what you see. See, that's very important. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this little announcement. Hi, this is Roland. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after, how to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? and how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much, and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love. Just visit SheddingShackles.com or TalkToAPastor.org, and you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. Yes, my relationships books are very good. I have two of them. They're excellent. See, what's happening now is that the baggage from the past that I talked about and all those pressures that are inside of you, well, they're interfering. They have and they are interfering with your relationship, with your partner, with your kids, with people. See, you keep reliving the past and falling into old patterns because of that programming and those pressures and those traumas that got inside. So like I said, the little meditation helps you stand back from it. And I want to tell you a couple of nice things. What is the nature of this meditation? Well, it's very simple. It's an ancient meditation, okay? But it's also very up-to-date. And I'll just tell you a couple of little things that may help you get an idea, okay? First of all, I was reading today about Ignatius. You know, some people call him Saint Ignatius. Saint Ignatius of Loyola. They said that he found God everywhere. Everything he looked at reminded him of God. And it said that he used to sit on the balcony and gaze up at the stars. And when he gazed up at the stars, he was filled with awe and wonder. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm quite certain that that's true. And there was something about gazing up at the stars, see, that gave him, that took him out of the negative thoughts in which he had been submerged and all of the endless loop of thinking and planning and scheming and worrying and analyzing, and brought him up to a higher level of consciousness, gazing up at the stars, okay? Well, there's something about gazing up, okay? In the Bible it says, lift up your eyes, lift up your heart. There's something about gazing up. See? So now we're just talking about a little mechanical thing. That's all we're talking about. But you know, if you, for example, let's say you're sitting in a chair, and you can practice this, you know, after this program is over, you can practice it right now. If you're sitting in a chair, then pick a spot on the wall above the level of your eyes, you know, up higher on the wall, and then just stare at that spot. Just stare at it, and you'll notice that your peripheral vision opens up. You'll notice that you see much wider to the side. You're able to see. Do you notice how that happens when you just look up and just stare, relaxedly stare at the spot on the wall above your eye level? Then your peripheral vision opens up. There's something that opens up. There's something liberating. In fact, that's part of an ancient Hawaiian meditation also. To just gaze or to stare. Here's another example. I used to work at a place. This was like 35 years ago. There was a very nice lady there. Her name was Lydia. I don't think she'll mind my giving her name, Lydia. Very nice lady. She was a very spiritual lady. She had a lot of love. And she was able to see auras around people. She had a gift. She was a gift for that. But when she looked at you, she would like, it was like staring. She would stare in a relaxed kind of a way. She would just stare or gaze at you. And when she did, it was like she could see right through you. Well, there was something about that gazing, see, that put her into a higher state of a state of love, a state of what the mystics call recollection, a state of not being lost down in worries and doubts and fears and planning and scheming. You see, there's something about that. So if you could get the little meditation in practice, sitting quietly and closing your eyes and looking at the inside of your eyelids, just relaxedly gazing at them or staring at them. See the little particles of light on the inside of your eyelids. See, that would take you out of your fixation, your fascination, your involvement with thoughts and planning and scheming and worrying, all those draining, tiring mental machinations. And then when those mental machinations approach, see, thoughts of what you did or what you're going to do, you know, daydreaming, when those images come to you, then you'll be able to just stare at them. You'll be able to just stand back mentally and look at them without getting lost in them. It's like sitting in a room with a television at the other end of the room and it's blurring away with some bad B-movie on it, and you're not even paying attention. It's just, it's there. And it doesn't bother you. It doesn't impinge upon you. You're not lost in it. It's irrelevant. See, you're in the present, in the eternal now, and you're not lost in thoughts and daydreams, imaginative images. You're in the present. You hear the birds sing. This program is a labor of love for me, which means I buy the airtime myself. If you would like to help me keep the program on the air, make a donation of any amount, and I'll send you a free ebook of my most popular relationships book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. That's right, for a donation of any amount, I'll send you a free ebook as a token of my appreciation. Just visit sheddingshackles.com. Yes, remember, the easy meditation is free, could do your world of good. And yes, I do buy the airtime myself, and so I need help from people. Okay? So if you go to sheddingshackles.com and click on the tab that says how you can help, then you can make a donation there, okay? And it helps me. It helps me to stay on the air. Or even to get airtime in other markets so I can help people in other places also, okay? Thank you very much. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.